You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
We know you've got that soul, my brother. Why are you trying to hide?
Okay, you know you're in a white neighborhood if you see signs in everyone's yard that says, drive slow. Drive slow?
People are podcasting.
Excuse me, drive slow?
We're naming our plants.
This one's named after a Wes Anderson movie. Drive slow.
Allie's dreaming.
Drive slow.
You hear that?
Pickleball.
Drive slow.
Oh my God, have you heard of the 3 body problem? It's really good. You should watch it. It's this amazing scientific... Drive slow.
Am I an alternative milk?
Probably. Meanwhile, you ask exact same people how they drive through a not white neighborhood. Oh, we drive as fast as we fucking can, okay? We'll go 90 and a 20. We don't give a shit if it's a school day. Playing Adele, pissing everyone off.
Drive slow, just because we said so.
Welcome everybody to a brand new episode of Spiritual Asshole. I am your host, Brendan Fitzgibbons, joined at the hip with me always and forever, Willoughby T. Fitzgibbons, the greatest dog ever living. Thank you, as always, for being here. Thank you for listening. Shout out to everybody who's been reaching out to me on Instagram. Hit me up on Instagram at @_BrendanFitzgibbons on Instagram. Please follow our Patreon. It's Patreon.com/spiritualasshole. If you need any help, if you want coaching, if you want questions, reach out to me. We'd love to hear from you. I will also be dropping my comedy album very soon. And I'm very excited to be announcing right here, right now. I wrote a TV show that I'm super proud of, that I'm super hype about, and I'm going to be shooting it about 7 weeks from now, and I'm going to be announcing this on everywhere. It's called Death is Normal, and it is the story of a world where everybody, when they're born, gets a birth date and a death date, and it is a dramedy. It's funny. It's very serious. There's intrigue. Who doesn't love intrigue? And this is a product that is like the nearest and dearest to my heart. I'm so excited for this. I'll be announcing our fundraising campaign in the next couple days. But we're gonna have some famous people in it. But that's not why you need to watch it. You need to watch it because this is gonna make your life better. And it's gonna ask a lot of really important questions, which we talk about all the time on this podcast. And it's a comedy. Did I say this already? But it's so exciting. And I'm really excited about this. So stay tuned for that. Okay, well, curveball today, y'all. Today's something special, because I wanted to do this, and I've been meaning to do this for a long time, and thank you to Whitney Walker for telling me that this is what she does sometimes. That's been really helpful for her. And that is, we're doing a solo episode. Today's guest is me. Okay, let's read his bio. Brendan Fitzgibbons is a person. That's all it says here. Who the fuck wrote this? But I do want to talk to you guys, and I want to have like a really good heart-to-heart with y'all. I feel like I've been kind of rushing through the intros, and I don't want to do that. And I think I have a lot of really valuable things to share this week. Starting with, I have been reading a lot about the subconscious mind, okay? I find this to be a fascinating subject. It's kind of where this podcast has been turning. Everyone that's been listening for a long time, you could see sort of threads. For a while, it was manifestation babes. Then it was people talking about gratitude. Then it was somebody talking about pussy-centered living. Then I remember that wasn't exactly applicable to me. But I'm really interested in the subconscious mind right now, because as so many people have said and continue to say, 95% of your thoughts and life are run by the subconscious mind. I don't know if that number is great, but guess what? We're not good at math, okay? We're good at the heart. We're good at spirit. That's what we do. I'm reading The Power of the Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. This is a book that a lot of people have recommended. And Joseph Murphy has said this. This is a really good analogy for you guys. This is very helpful, I think. He said, your subconscious mind is basically like deckhands on a ship who are in charge of the engine. Yeah, this is an old book. It's post-Titanic, though. No one dies. Love to get that necklace. And he basically said that, and you're the captain. Whatever you tell the ship hands to do, they will do. Your subconscious mind is not like your rational mind, which can argue with itself, question things, and ask inquiries, change courses. The subconscious mind gets instructions and it powers fully forward. It doesn't give a fuck if you're like, hey, subconscious mind, you see that lighthouse? Let's go right through it. And metaphorically, this is what a lot of us are doing. And John Ruskin was kind of talking about this last week. He was arguing that it was because of things that were in your energy system that were stuck, karma, as he called it, causing you to manifest from places that you don't want to go. Here's where I differ with John Ruskin, though. I think that your subconscious mind can really be talked to and negotiated with. And I've been trying this week. So one of my biggest things, I'll tell you guys from a vulnerable perspective, has been I have always had very big desires and very big goals. But I have often felt like I was warring with myself in those goals, which would cause me immense amount of pain, immense amount of discomfort. It's like I see these goals, but it felt like I was being held down, pulled back. Like literally someone had their hand on my neck and like was holding me underwater. And that's because I realized my subconscious mind was not in alignment with those beliefs or those goals. It doesn't mean that those goals and beliefs weren't valid or aren't great, but it means that it's not in concert together. One of the things that Joseph Murphy says is that like your subconscious mind actually is very susceptible to suggestion, but you have to talk to it. So I have literally every day been like, okay, subconscious mind, it's good for us to make money. Okay, subconscious mind, it's good for us to book these jobs. Because I do believe for whatever reason, my subconscious mind a lot of times is trying to keep me safe. Or, guys, if we want to go even deeper here, and I have to use the money one because I think it's the easiest for people to understand. But basically, to go back to the crashing your boat into a lighthouse, right? So a lot of us out in these streets being like, I want a lot of money, okay? What Joseph Murphy argues is, if you go around all day long saying you can't afford things, your subconscious mind just says, great, we can't afford this. And it continues to steer you towards the lighthouse. So this is like such a subtle thing that I don't even think we realize how often we're negating our own possibilities, which is then giving instructions to our subconscious mind. Or we'll be like doing what I do sometimes where it's like, I'm an infinite, I'm whatever I want. And then like right away, I'll be negating it with some shit. And I'm like, I don't know why I keep crashing this fucking lighthouse, man. I don't even like it here. Okay, let me give you a tactical example from this book. Here we go. Last Christmas Eve, a beautiful young university student looked at an attractive and rather expensive traveling bag in a store window. She was going home to Buffalo, New York for the holidays. She was about to say, I can't afford that bag, when she recalled something she heard at one of my lectures, which was, never finish a negative statement. Reverse it immediately and wonders will happen in your life. She said, that bag is mine. It is for sale. I accept it mentally, and my subconscious sees to it that I receive it. At 8 o'clock Christmas Eve, her fiancé presented her with a bag exactly the same as the one she had looked at and mentally identified herself with at 10 o'clock the same morning. She had filled her mind with a thought of expectancy and released the whole thing to her deeper mind, which has the know-how of accomplishment. So Joseph Murphy basically throws like this the gauntlet down and says, your subconscious mind is so unbelievably susceptible to suggestion that if you align with it, anything is possible. And he talked about so many placebo effects in health, and we're seeing this more and more. The placebo effect is beyond real. He tells the story of a dad who had tuberculosis when this was a thing, more common. Now everyone just gets sick from seeing Dune 2 too many times, but he said his dad had a case of tuberculosis. He was in really bad shape. He went to a hardware store. He got a piece of wood. He went to go see his dad. And he's like, hey, dad, this piece of wood, and he had it fastened and made really nice, is from a very holy cross that has been known to heal people for millions of years. And he said, if you touch it, it's healed. You're healed. So he did it. And the next day, the doctor says his tuberculosis were totally cleared. Time and time again, he says, Joseph Murphy says, like, your subconscious mind is constantly doing things for you that are miracles already, like your health, helping you breathe, keeping your body regulated, that the miracles can only expand and grow bigger if you align with it and place your intentions within the realm of your subconscious mind. So I don't know if you guys, what that would look like to you, but I know that when I'm splintering off into like, fuck, how am I going to do this? Or not this shit again. I've invited my subconscious mind along for the ride. I'm like, hey man, we're going to do this. Okay. You and I, we got this. We're aligned together. We both want this thing. This is good for us. And Joseph Murphy basically says like these miracles of turnaround in all facets of your life could happen in a second. It doesn't have to be this long process. And it happens because you all get on board. And when you work with your subconscious mind in concert, insane things can happen. Speaking of concerts, good God almighty, I saw Bruce Springsteen again. Not a stalker. Probably like my 30th time I've seen him. Saw him with my best friend. Came into town with his best friend. A really big theme of this show, this concert show. So I've described to you guys quickly what it's like to see Bruce Springsteen, okay? This man is 74 years old. I want everyone to think about that. Think about somebody who's 74 years old. What comes to mind when you think of that besides light racism, okay? Napping, being on the chair, occasionally pointing out the grandkids being like, I wish you to do that when I was your age. Stuff like that. More racism. Here's what the reality is. Bruce Springsteen is 74 years old. He plays for 3 hours and 10 minutes. That's low end. When I saw him the first night in Los Angeles, he did 320 and he wanted to keep going. So we're just witnessing a casual miracle of science, human anatomy, and overall just mystery and wonder of the world. Speaking of this, did you guys know that before the term hypnotism existed, it was called mesmerizing because there was a doctor named John Mesmer. I think that's just so cool. Yeah, I'm going to mesmerize you. And that's what he does. Springsteen mesmerizes us. 74 years old, miracle fucking of science. And New Jerseyan intuition. And I saw it the first night from behind the stage. And I was like, this is a revival. This is like church. I was like, this is like church, seeing him. People's hands are up in the air the whole time, and it's all about redemption, rising up. The reason why I love Springsteen so much, I have a belief about how the kind of life I want to live, and he is the soundtrack to it completely. It's epic. It's beautiful. There's big dreams. There's working in a factory, which I will not do. I have no real life skills. And then there's... And then there's big romance, equality, believing in a good place for everyone, and dreams. But a big part of this show was death. He's obviously very old. He tells a story about being the last person in his original band. Before the song Last Man Standing, he said, "Death gives a certain clarity of thought. Its final and lasting gift to us, to the living, is an expanded vision of the possibilities of this life." And then he closed by saying, "And grieving... grieving is the price you pay for loving." Oh boy. And it's crazy because this is the literal point of my entire show is how would your life change if you knew when you were going to die? Would you appreciate things more? What would you do differently? Because what's fascinating about all of this is like we all kind of do know that we're going to die. But yet sometimes we choose to put our own life on pause. You know, just casual, a couple 40-year-old guys just crying. Like a group of us were just holding each other the whole time, swaying. I mean, who do you like? Kelly Clarkson? All right. The last thing I want to talk about is I finished doing another 6 rounds of ketamine therapy with MindBloom. It was amazing. Highly recommend it. Every time I do it, I ask myself this important question. Why don't you only wear blindfolds? But that's what you do when you do MindBloom ketamine therapy. It's awesome. I just like really can't describe to you guys because I want to give you guys this little beautiful feeling how big your soul is. It's so big and it's so vast, like there's no words for it. And I would say that we are currently operating at about 15% of what's possible. Think of the ocean, and then when you think you get to the bottom, just know then it's just double more of the ocean. Like that's how big your soul is. Yes, I do think that some people might be deeper and more tapped into that, but we are so vast and we're so big and we're so expansive. And anything is possible. And if this sounds like fun to you, or you know, just drink a White Claw. But it's such a cool experience. And I'm really glad I did it. It rewires your brain. And every time I do it, it's really abstract. And I just like see how quickly we're all here, how vast and amazing the world is, and how we're just kind of like these stardust beings time traveling. I can't believe I'm talking like this. I thought I was going to play for the Chicago Bulls when I was 16. So, and you see some people, there's one person in particular that I see every time, but it's more just like you get to kind of really get to know you, and you get to really feel actually how incredible you are and how precious every second of time is. But one of the really cool things about Mind Bloom is you do it all set to recording. And so the recording for each session is tailored to that session. So I love the recordings. One time I got Jordan Peterson. Not surprising, that was my least favorite trip. We get it. Make your bed, bro. It's not hard, okay? But this one was done by Peter Krohn, and I want to play you guys a little bit. And I have to say that this man is a living genius. I've heard about Peter Krohn forever. I've listened to some of his stuff. But this is like, he tackles something that I think is so important. I talk about so much that if your life is not changing, if you don't think you're not seeing progress in your life, it is mostly because you are thinking about the past. And you are warring with your past self. And he uses this great example. He's like, literally, like, it's like driving and only looking in the rearview mirror. Okay. So just know that all the steps you have forward in front of you, all of those beautiful steps, there are endless possibilities. The past doesn't have to be there. You're not your past. So just remember that the next time that you yell at somebody, it hurts. Not speaking from experience. Here's a little bit of Peter Krohn.
If you don't take care of what's going on in the subconscious of people's minds, at best, the term I use is you're going to be the greatest version of your limited self. Now, if you really get that statement, it's very profound, right? So you're stuck within the parameters of your blind spots, right? These beliefs of inadequacy, insecurity, and scarcity, which to me are universal, they're primal, they're very deep. Then we develop survival mechanisms, adaptations, compensations. And then on top of that, our physiology is going to, just by natural cascade, reflect whatever's going on internally, which is, as you know, as a doctor, usually a mild state of fight or flight, sympathetic nervous system, cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline, that whole storm of hormones that really is doing us a disservice. It's affecting people's sleep and weight gain. All of the things that people are dealing symptomatically on the surface, to me, are a byproduct of the fact that human beings currently are designed to survive. Everything is a potential perceived threat, whether it's being what your boss is going to say, or your spouse is going to say, or your parents are going to say, or am I going to be able to pay rent, or am I going to be okay in the future? Am I going to realize my dreams? Am I ever going to quit smoking? Am I ever going to lose weight? All of these sort of unanswerable questions inspire this internal sort of fight and battle that people have, that to me is the dis-ease, the absence of ease, that then manifests over time into some physical symptoms. So that's why I get super passionate about this, because you can do all the work externally and it's not a knock on your industry. And thank God you listen, you know, and that's why you're making the difference you are. Because if you don't address what's going on mentally and emotionally for somebody, at best, you're just making the window dressing look good while the back of the shop is just on fire. I tell people, you can't create the life of someone you don't yet believe yourself to be. Right, so again, this is one of my quotes that I use in my book, right? So it's like recognizing that if you're wanting to create a certain life externally, then if you don't emulate that internally in the way that you view yourself and the way that you speak about yourself, the way that you behave, then you're, you know, to use the English expression, you're pissing into the wind.
Okay, here's to not pissing in the wind. I hope that was helpful, but I also really want you guys to not feel like you're trapped, and I certainly don't want to feel like that, because I think we're doing such a good job, and so is humanity, of undoing all of this wiring and undoing the beliefs that things have to be the exact way that your subconscious mind says. So thank you so much for being here. I believe all your dreams can come true. I believe there's so much love here for you. I believe that this week, every moment is a chance to be somebody else entirely new, and nothing but good things can happen for you. Hell yeah! Wait, no!